Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for today is the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. When God gave the Ten Commandments, He instructed His chosen people of Israel to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now, I'm not sure how long it took for sinful man to mess it all up, but we know that it wasn't very long, because by the time the only begotten Son of the Father was born of the Virgin Mary, the Israelites had added 39 rules to keeping the commandment, remember the Sabbath day. Such wonderful rules as you were breaking the Sabbath if you carried things, or if you burned something, to the extent if you threw a toothpick into a fire, you broke the Sabbath. I agree, Matthias. Extinguishing, that is, putting out a candle or lowering its flame, was seen as breaking the Sabbath. Finishing something, writing, cooking, washing, sewing, the list goes on and on. And this is just an example of how ridiculous man can become when they try to live by the law. Because if you take the law of God seriously, and you know that God demands perfect obedience, then you can see how quickly a false understanding of God's judgment can lead to just plain out foolishness. So having this as our background, Jesus is invited to the ruler of the Pharisees. Well, really, he's probably a member of the Sanhedrin and a Pharisee. And Jesus then takes the opportunity to clarify the law and speak to them about humility when a man walks before him who has dropsy. So Jesus asks, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And no one wants to argue with Jesus. The Pharisees apparently are struck dumb, their mouths silenced. They're not able to say a word. Because, well, they taught the 39 rules, and they believed that they had kept them, and in doing so kept the law of God, despite the fact that they would break the rules whenever it was advantageous for themselves. This is why Jesus' question shows them their own hypocrisy. Here, Jesus exposed the enemies of the gospel by showing them their own inconsistency and the fact that their inconsistency is indeed cruel. The man that came before Jesus, Luke doesn't record anything much about him. He doesn't say that the man cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me, heal me, I'm in pain." He doesn't confess any kind of faith or anything. It simply tells us, "And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy." Now, maybe dropsy is not something familiar to your vocabulary. Maybe you're more familiar with the term edema. This would be a retention of water, fluid, on the arm, the leg, the hand in this case, and it can be very painful. But it in itself is not a disease, but rather a symptom of various other illnesses, such as congestive heart failure or kidney disease. The swelling may be in a different part of the body depending on the underlying illness, but it can be painful and it can ultimately cause death. Many Jews of the day believed that it was proof that this man was an adulterer. So if you were reading this and you were a Palestinian, you would have immediately thought this guy is an adulterer because of the swelling. Thus the illness being proof of his being a sinner. But the text mentions nothing about him being an adulterer, simply a man with dropsy. He's sick, he's in pain, and he even could die from this. So Jesus asks the simple question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? The temptation for us today, we fall into this trap quite often, is to assume that there is an unnatural connection between one's health and their sins. Many look at one who has poor health as guilty of something that God is judging them for, despite the book of Job teaching quite the contrary. But this is because we, like the Pharisees, often build our religion on human tradition rather than on God's clear word. And therefore, we condemn others on the basis of our false traditions. So, to silence the crowd, Jesus asked, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" There's your hypocrisy. You're breaking the Sabbath, but God demands you keep the Sabbath, and yet you're willingly breaking it as long as it's advantageous to yourself or helping somebody you love. Oh, maybe their understanding of the Sabbath was just completely wrong. It's that old parent trick. You remember that as parents, right? Or more when your parents used it, because we would never be as hypocritical as that. That is, do what I say, not what I do. So Jesus is using their moment to silence and rebuke the Pharisees in all their self-righteousness. And oddly enough, that includes us in this self-righteous crowd. If we took seriously our confession of sin today, as we have often fallen into the trap of turning our faith into an item to be checked off our to-do list. Went to church? Check. Prayed before I ate? Check. I'm doing it. You see? I'm making it go. Sorry. Or when we turn our faith into faith in faith, which leads to a faith that is only based on our feelings, instead of our faith being our very nature, focused on Jesus and His words. This, in turn, that focus on Jesus and His words, turns studying God's Word, turns our prayers, and even singing hymns into things that we do, well, to strengthen our faith. And oddly enough, to guide us to here today. That is, to the reception of God's gifts in the divine service, where all of God's gifts are offered to you through Jesus. Here today you receive forgiveness, life, and salvation. They are all yours in Christ. Yet still, I've heard it said from people from time to time, "I'm just not getting anything out of church." And so I'm going to say this as politely and clearly as I can. If you feel you're not getting anything out of the services of God's house, I can assure you that you got exactly what you put into it. Or, heaven forbid, you happened into a church a day where a gun was held to Pastor Rafa and my head, and we were forced to change the liturgy and work without a net, our safety net, and we messed up the sermon and the liturgy, so you had no gospel to the law that is proclaimed. See, if you seriously take your sins to be a serious problem between you and God, you must then view the Word of God on a higher level than a lower level, and therefore the liturgy becomes, well, not only the pastor's safety net, but yours. It rescues you from me. Because I too am a poor, miserable sinner who sin much daily and needs to be forgiven just like you. And oddly enough, the liturgy does what Jesus is doing in our text. That is to drive all sinners to approach God with true humility, not looking for honor or praise, but to take on the posture of the publican who wouldn't even look up to heaven but beat his chest and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." So Jesus, well, has a silent audience and he wants to drive home the point. And so he starts talking about taking your seats. It hit me while I was working on this text that this must be why everybody who comes to church sits in the back. You see, you should be asked to come forward. So please, please come forward next week. But Jesus says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And then he goes on and talks about the feast. "When you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. These two accounts are driving home the main point, which is summed up quite clearly and concisely. The readings of this day, this 15th Sunday after Pentecost, are summed up in verse 11. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. In these two accounts, Jesus is illustrating how pride leads to our humiliation. And I know it's hard on us to wait and let others praise us and promote us rather than praise and promote ourselves. No matter what others say or do, our greatest promotions in life are not that we made the varsity, not that we got the new promotion at work, and not even that we were invited from the children's table to the adults' table at Thanksgiving. No, our greatest promotion is when our Heavenly Father calls you by name, His beloved child, and He welcomes you as a good and faithful servant, and you receive the crown of life. And this is all gift in Christ for you. So we can rejoice today, despite the fact that our sins lead us to desire to be like God. We have a God who is not willing to be like us. That by grace through faith, we have been granted faith in the only begotten Son of the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. And for Jesus' sake alone, we can rejoice because He takes the poor in spirit and He gives them the kingdom of heaven. He takes those who mourn and He comforts them with the promise of life and eternal. For Jesus is the one who invites those who can never pay back. He invites them to come and partake in the foretaste of the feast that is to come. Jesus calls for all of us who are seated far away from His glory to come up and be with the groom and rejoice forever in His eternal marriage feast. See why our trust can rest in Jesus? He is the only one who willingly gave up everything, including His own life, to die our death, dying for our sins on the cross. And as you know, those who have been crucified with Christ Jesus will rise to eternal life with Christ Jesus. And thanks be to God, that's not literal that we have to be actually hung on a cross. But that points us right back to baptism, to the hearing of God's word, and the reception of the supper, where we are joined to Jesus' death and resurrection for our good. May our eyes then be ever focused on the glory of Jesus, the glory that Jesus gives through His death and resurrection. This glory is not the glory that we receive here on earth that will pass away in a day, but the eternal glory that only Jesus can provide. Let us rejoice this day and give thanks that our Lord has indeed humbled us and then lifted us right back up. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.